for tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the original season 6, episode 16. We are here. I am Roxy Stryer, and you guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. It's a really exciting episode tonight, so we can't wait to break it down. My co-host tonight, Donald Romain.
Hi, I'm Donald Romain. You can find me on Twitter at Tigress Hobbs.
And Katie Campbell.
Hello, hello. You can find me on Twitter at Katie E.E. Campbell. That's Katie with three E's, Campbell.
And, of course, our chat mistress, Tiana Hobson.
Hey, guys. I'm on the chat roll right now on YouTube on our live stream, so make sure you're checking that out. And I'm also on Twitter at the Tiana Hobson.
And, of course, our incredibly special guest tonight, Nishi Moon. She is here. She plays Gia on the show. We're so happy to have you.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, so where can everybody find you if they want to talk to you outside of the show?
Yeah. So on Twitter, I am at Nishi Moonshine. I still am learning my technical side. On Instagram, I'm at the_real_Nishi. And it's because there are other people that have...
They've stolen your name.
Made accounts with my face.
It means you made it.
Oh, yeah, that's when you know you're big.
Hey, so talk to me. Yeah, I respond. I like doing it, you know, now that I'm getting the hang of everything.
Absolutely.
I used to call it, like, twattering or I wasn't very... But now I've learned.
It's the Twitter.
It's the tweeting. I'm getting it.
Speaking of the Twitter, you guys can find us at AfterBuzz TV. Hashtag ABTV Originals if you want to talk to our show specifically. And, of course, as always, on iTunes, on SoundCloud, on YouTube. If you are there, give us that thumbs up, that 5 stars. Leave a comment. We will respond. And if you have any comments or questions for Gia, the character, let us know on the YouTube chat with our chat mistress.
I will be... saving those for the end of the episode, so ask away and I'm saving them.
Right, of course.
And they're being quarantined on my computer.
I swear to you, we have a very special segment at the end where we get to talk to her, so we are going to break down the episode, but stay tuned to hear more about her character and her life. Okay, let's get into tonight's episode, guys. I thought it was a really good one. I know that a lot of the fans at home are saying that this show gets more confusing every week and better every week. What do you guys think about that?
I agree. I think it's getting more confusing, but also at the same time, I'm watching it through the eyes of thinking that my theory's true, so like, the loose ends are tied up for me, but in general, it is very confusing, but that's one of the greatest part about the shows, is that it keeps it fresh, it keeps it exciting, so, you know, I liked it.
I'm on Team Your Theory, too, and I have not stopped thinking about it all
freaking week. It's driving me crazy, literally, and they didn't give us anything.
But it's on track.
It is on track.
It'll go that way.
Yes.
Absolutely. What do you guys think about the episode, though, in general?
I liked it. I just want to know more about this whole Eva Sinclair thing. I just need to know more. I don't feel like we got to know too much this episode.
And now you're obsessed with it after the theory. I get that. I feel you.
I liked tonight's episode. I felt like we got a lot of information, but still I wanted more information, if that makes sense at all. But I loved the little moments that we got. I feel like it was a check-in with everyone to see where their heads are. And when we return in April will be the action that, you know, we've gone to expect. The war is coming.
And also, the other thing we needed in tonight's episode was more Gia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where's she at this episode?
Look, I did a lot of work last episode. So Gia needs to take, you know, naps every now and again.
I get that.
No, they do an amazing job, you know, like you said, of checking in, really making sure to play out the different storylines, because there's so much going on, you know, with every single character. And I think that's a part of what keeps the show so interesting, is everyone has so many layers and so many intertwining, you know, storylines going with one another, that, you know, some of us get to take a breather for a second and then get back into it. So
that's exactly why we love the show. We are checking in, and tonight we get to check in a little bit with Freya and where she's at with all of the siblings. So this was really interesting to watch because every single original has such a strong personality in a different way. So seeing how they all accepted Freya or didn't accept Freya was cool. Did anybody surprise you with their actions tonight, or did you seem like they were pretty on par?
No, sorry, Donald and I always look at each other first. But go ahead, Katie. Yeah.
Okay, nobody really surprised me, but I just get so annoyed with Klaus and his actions.
You mean because of the neck snap?
Yeah.
Let's just get down to it.
What was that for?
Well, I wrote, on my notes, I wrote, WTF Klaus. And then I wrote an arrow and said, actually, not mad at it. Because he was trying to protect his siblings who do have a downfall of believing in family. And Klaus is the kind of person who would do what Frey is doing. Which, by the way, Klaus kind of opened my eyes because I was like, Frey is great, but if Delia really is even Eva, maybe she had Cole place him there, and maybe like Frey has made a deal with Delia that if she takes Klaus's first son, that she'll be able to have a child.
Oh,
and
you're taking your theory to a whole other level.
Maybe she wants to, and like maybe she wants to set. I don't know. But I mean, I'm getting off track. But my main thing is, I don't think that Klaus was too out of line for doing it because again, Freya showed up out of nowhere, and she is extremely powerful.
Yeah. I just trust her.
Why are you so trusting of her?
I don't know. I love her. I love her character. I feel bad for her and what she's had to go through. I just
trust
Rebecca.
Her.
Okay, I was just going to say that. You're total Rebecca.
Okay, I'm curious because we are always rewriting the show in our heads and thinking in advance. When you're reading these scripts, are you thinking, oh my gosh, I know what's going to happen next, and you start making connections in your head? Because that's absolutely what we're doing.
Honestly, on this show, it's crazy because a lot of the times fans will, you know, be tweeting and be like, well, what's going to happen? And we need to know, and blah, 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 you know. And honestly, we don't know a lot of the time until the script is in front of us. You know, a lot of us will be, you know, hanging out in, you know, in our rooms and just be like, oh, is the next script out yet? Can we read it? Can we? Because there's so much that happens, and it's a supernatural world, so anything can happen and nothing is impossible. And so, no, I mean, a lot of times you're like, oh, okay, well, I thought we were going this way, but all right, no, we're going that way, okay. So, you know, sorry, what was your question?
If you guys know.
That's how my brain works when watching the show. I'm like, wait, what was the plan of that? Wait, what's going on? No, I was asking if you rewrite things or if you think about the future of the show and you think about what the scenes are going to do in the way that Donald thinks that Eva is actually living in, or is actually Dahlia living in Eva's body and all of that.
So here's the thing. The second you do, I did this in the beginning of season two, and the second you start to write, and you rewrite and you think of scenarios and you're like, oh, we're totally going to be going this way, it'll shift the other way and you're just completely thrown. And I think that's the brilliance of the show, you know, which makes it great. And every time I was like, oh, I see what they're doing. I see what they're hinting at. And it's completely just,
I want to,
you know, somewhere else.
That's exactly how I feel also. Like, whenever I feel like I have this. So now that I feel like we've nailed it, I'm a little more confident because you came up with a theory, not me. All my theories turn out to be dead ends.
I wasn't confident until you guys, like, supported it. And now, like, now I just feel this pressure, like, it's gotta happen. It's gotta happen.
Talk about support.
What if it doesn't?
If it doesn't, then I won't be mad. I'll just have a creative imagination. But I did want to say something about Freya.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I kind of have an issue, and I know it's not a big issue or whatever, but Freya and Rebecca are the same, where the one thing that they want to complete them is the love of another person.
Right.
But then when it comes to the guys in the family, like Elijah and Klaus, what they want to complete them is family. And I just don't understand why the girls get to be jaded like that. The girls, like, they're not looking for the family love. They're looking for the man love. But the guys in the family are looking for the family love.
I feel like Rebecca did look for family love for a while. She just wants acceptance from whoever it is. And she always is craving that. And finally, because she does have that a little bit from Klaus and Elijah, I think she's moved on to the next
step.
She's
satisfied in that part.
And a little
bit.
I can
understand that. I can understand that.
And I see her having a love with Marcel in the future.
You
I
do.
Hope so. I do.
Yeah, Rebecca think
Marcel.
That.
Yeah, you think that. That's what they want you to think right now.
You know, true. No. Yeah, I mean, for me, at least in the writing, I was like, oh, okay, well, this is interesting. You know, Marcel and Gia are really close. His head's in my lap. We're talking. We're doing things. Okay, we're always together. I'm stuck to his hip. And then we went.
Elijah.
We went. you know, elsewhere. So it's just, it's very unpredictable and it's exciting.
I definitely want to break down your romance a little bit later, because as you're talking about it, I remember moments with Marcel and I remember moments with Elijah, and we are feeling very torn. Which hashtag?
Oh, no, I'm writing down Jelijah so I can remember that in case it comes up.
It's true. Go ahead, T.
I just wanted to say my feelings on this, since you didn't ask me my opinion, Roxy. You're so rude. Oh, my God.
Mistress, I always want to know your opinion.
I don't trust Freya right now, mostly because I feel like in her conversation she was having, even with her siblings, she wasn't being forthcoming, and the only time she got real was when her and Klaus were alone, and all of a sudden that attitude came out. And I know some people were saying that, you know, she was just kind of giving it back to him, but I felt like in that moment she was showing her true colors, and she was being kind of two-faced, and in front of Elijah and Rebecca, she was being all sweet and, oh, like, woe is me. I'm so innocent in this whole situation. And then with Klaus, it was kind of like, all right, like, here I am. Like, it was like she got hood with it all of a sudden or something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why hood is always me bouncing like this with my fingers, but that's what hood is, in my opinion.
No, I get it. And honestly, I'm feeling so torn about her, because when I'm hearing Katie say, I trust her, I'm like, psh, no way do I trust her. But if I heard somebody say, I don't trust her at all, I would say, I trust her a little bit, which is why I feel really, really like I'm in the middle here.
Well, another thing to what you're saying, Tiana, is the fact that she said to the siblings, I've been trying to do this, or I've been dreaming of you guys for a thousand years.
Yeah.
But she was a century ago. She was in the same room as all of them, knowing what's going on at that one party where we first saw Freya. So that's not necessarily
why
the
hasn't
truth.
She made she's been alive the same time they have. Has Dahlia stopped her from contacting them, or
well,
why hasn't
asleep.
She contacted them?
She's awake
once every year, though.
Yeah.
And they've been alive at the same time.
Yeah, and yeah. I think it just kind of goes back to, we have to see when she broke free of Dahlia. And when
that's
the last
true.
Time they were, like, together, because clearly this time they woke up in separate places, and I don't know if they go find somewhere to sleep for 100 years, or if they just kind of knock out one day, like, they're just walking around sipping tea, and all of a sudden, boom, they hit the floor and they're out.
Well, that's interesting that you say, you know, she showed her true colors in front of Klaus, and the real, you know, whatever. How do we do this? Yes, the hood side. The hood side. Right here?
Yeah, right there. Like, boom, boom.
The
like,
hood
bang,
side
bang.
Came out. You know, I think that's the Michelson charm.
Yeah.
I think that with every member of that family, when it comes time to be a social chameleon and turn that on, you know, like when Elijah goes to see Josephine, you know, it's very different versus when he's just with me versus, you know, and I think that that's a Michelson charm.
Yeah.
I think they bring it on when they need to in order to get what they want.
And if you think about that and the line that Klaus says, because they're like, how do you know that what she's doing? He says, because I would do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are similarities. These are siblings, so they're blood related, and obviously parts of her are going to be more Rebecca-like, and parts of her are going to be more Klaus-like. It's just kind of like, which part is the strongest, and which part do we actually trust? And how much of her is Dahlia? Because, yes, she hates Dahlia, but she's also learned so much from Dahlia, so I don't know.
That's why it's hard to know what we can trust, because I think she is trustworthy. But I don't know if I trust her intentions, because she did play to each and every single one of them. She played to now I'm going to say Daniel. She played to Elijah.
Sorry.
She played to Elijah.
I've
she
done
played,
that on set.
See,
where I've been like, Charles. And he's like, No.
See, and I would have never said
take
that.
Two.
She played to Elijah with the Thor. She played to Rebecca. And then when she, like, got that real kid. With Klaus, that's because she emulated the way he responds and the way he acts. And then he, you know, like when he said, what's your plan? And then she went and touched on like the whole losing the baby and everything.
Yeah.
And he has a baby. And it's like, okay, she knows how to pull the strings. She knows exactly what she's trying to do. And then Klaus called her out for it immediately and was like, I know what you're doing. But I was like, okay, but what's the plan, Freya? Can you just tell us what's going on and maybe we can trust you?
Well, isn't that so interesting where it's, you know, like what you said is we don't know how much of Dahlia has, you know, the influence of that, because it's the whole, I think that's just, it makes him so relatable even though it's supernatural, right? It's nature versus nurture.
Right.
Where you're just kind of like, huh, how much of that would take influence? And it really relates to, you know, people, me, when I watch it, I'm like, oh, well, I wonder how much of my, you know, my mom's in, you know, affecting me. And
absolutely.
I wonder how much of So it does, it connects them so much to people when they watch that. And it makes me wonder, too.
You think about how much Esther and Michael have affected all of their kids. So clearly being raised by Dahlia has had a huge effect. We just don't know what it is yet. Let's talk about the story that she tells. So first she says that she can't be killed. And she had tried, and this is when she's talking to all of the siblings, and that's when the next snap happens, and we're like, oh, is she actually going to wake up? She does, and then when she's alone with Klaus, she talks about what actually happened in the specific moment that she did try to kill herself. All right, help me out with his name.
Matthias.
I thought it was like a...
Matthias. If we just whisper it, it's fine.
Yeah, sure. Mention
Matthias.
She was in love once.
Matthias and Gia.
Matthias and Gia.
Oh, yeah. And everyone who called me out for saying Gia's name wrong, I will say I did tell Nishi that I always pronounce it Gia. And she's okay with that. So
as long as it's with a G.
As long as there's a G.
Well,
that's what helps me every time I think to myself, Chia, but like Gia.
That's a really good little song.
That's what I have to do on this kind of show. Well, they do give us a lot of weird names. I mean, when we have like Michael Michelson, it's a little difficult.
Or when they change the characters, like it's not Finn anymore, it's Vincent, and I have to write it down every time to make sure I remember what it is.
Same body, different name, different body, same name, like all
it's confusing. But in regards to Freya's telling the story in her flashbacks,
thank you for bringing us back.
No, I was like, no, I just really thought it was really nice to see what's actually happening. And like you said, the nature versus nurture, and like you said, I just don't know. No matter what Dahlia did, and no matter how much she hates her, like, Dahlia told her family's the most important thing. And Klaus and to Elijah and Rebecca, family's the most important thing. And then right after the flashback, she opens the thing where Klaus said, you know, family meeting. And it's just like, in some way, she has to think of Dahlia as family.
Right.
So there has to be some sense of loyalty, even if it's small. And that's why I feel like she's trustworthy, but I don't know how much I can trust her, because what does she, what's going, like you said, where did she, when did she break free from Dahlia? Because if we haven't been shown it, is she broken free from Dahlia? Is she working with Dahlia? I don't know.
But if she's had such a hard time with Dahlia, how can she think she's family? Just like Klaus looks at his parents and he doesn't think that they're family anymore. He doesn't.
That's really true. Well, no, you're right.
My question more so when you talk about family is, she seems shocked when she wakes up and she cries because, not because she's alive, but because her baby is dead. But taking the poison, she had to have known that even if she killed herself, she was also going to kill the baby. Yeah. And that sure as hell is family.
I thought that's what she was doing. I thought she may have already known that she could die, or, you know, she can't die. So I thought she was just trying to kill the baby. Just
kill the baby.
Because
she wanted to be a slave, because that's what she said.
To be a slave, yeah.
I just still don't believe we've gotten the whole story from her.
No,
and that's my only problem with her right now, is because even when Klaus goes back to her and she's like, is that the story you expected? She still gave me the sob story, because she teared up again, and I was like, girl, it happened thousands, like, come on, like, I need
to get it together.
Like, you're supposed to be hooked, get it together.
Okay, I don't know if you ever get over that.
She should get over it, just I didn't think that... I mean, yeah, you can cry because you're not going to get over that. And I didn't mean it in that way. I just meant that the story still felt incomplete.
Right.
Even though she came back with, like, here's the rest of the story. It didn't feel complete after here's the rest.
Okay, well, but also realistically, she's only had 6 years to deal with it. Because this happened in the 1400s.
Yeah.
And she's only been alive
10 years, though, because they've done this for 10 centuries.
Yeah, but this happened in the 1400s.
Oh, that's right.
The baby was in the 1400s.
So she would only have had six years. So, I mean, 6 years is relatively fresh. Like, we're not actually talking 600 years.
Yeah, and I don't mean to get over it and, like, don't mourn the loss of your child, because you should never get over mourning the loss of your child.
Tiana is so insensitive.
But I've been called worse.
You're wondering if those tears are, you know, for show or genuine.
Exactly.
For that moment, or she's just trying to get Klaus on her side. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and also, we can't know the full story, because she has Finn in her necklace and everyone's just acting like it's cool, but like, why is she keeping Finn in the necklace? What's the long game?
Yeah,
what's
her
long
game?
Who
else is in the necklace?
And oh, you know what? Necklace. That's true. And she was wearing that necklace way back in the flashbacks too, so right. I just don't know.
We have to read you right now and see, what do you know about this necklace?
I have a very cartoony face.
Finn.
so you shouldn't read it. Hearts twitch involuntarily, so...
Based on this, I'm thinking Gia's going in the necklace.
Gia's going in the necklace.
I want to see what kind of, you know, is it like I Dream a Genie type of deal in there? Because I wouldn't mind.
Oh, what?
What if it's a whole other world?
Something you just said made Katie go...
I was just thinking, could Matthias be in there?
Well, Matthias, we saw bleeding from the eyes, so right. I'm not sure. But it could have just been Matthias's body.
But she could have captured his soul.
Can we just call him Maddie?
Oh, why does it say save my soul?
But maybe it could be her child that's in there because she woke up and the baby was gone. We don't know if Dahlia got to the baby in time to save him, you know, old school C-section or something in the 1400s. Like... And we know that it takes her a longer time to recover because Klaus made a comment when she finally revived. She's like, oh, well, that took forever or something like that. So maybe...
He's so pompous.
Yeah, he is. But I don't know why. It just works for him so well.
That's what I was saying during the episode. I mean, when I just think that it's such a smoke show.
Yeah, I should have hated him, but I just couldn't.
Yeah.
It's charming.
I think that she's feeling a little similar about some of the originals over there.
Well, no, it's funny to hear people, you know, speak because we all work in such close quarters. And it's interesting to see how either some people are so similar or so different to their characters. And a lot of the time it's just you play well a lot of the time what's opposite of you. Not to say that you can't play what's similar of your actual nature as a person, but it's funny to see, and that's when my wheels are like,
can I ask who you feel like is the most similar and who you feel like is the most different?
Oh, yeah.
Put you on the spot.
Diplomatic answer here.
And we're live at AfterBuzz TV.
No, they're all great.
Okay. We'll this one's like a witch, and this one's like a werewolf.
This one has control issues.
This one gets angry all the time.
All the time.
I did want to bring up something from the part where Freya was in the house and the whole family was together.
Okay.
And this Veleidoscope on Twitter brought this up, and I thought the same thing, but... Rebecca Evan Sinclair has a proven history of killing and getting power from children, but she's all up in the house with Klaus's baby. Is it because, like, what? Why are, it's like bringing the enemies so close to home.
During brunch, Klaus mentioned that he sent Jackson and Haley and the wolves and Hope out of the house.
Oh, did he say Hope too?
To protect
her. Yeah.
Oh, I would assume it would have to be Hope. You know what? You're
Hope
right.
Went
you're
with
right.
them to okay. the woods.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that Hope and Rebecca aren't in the same room ever. Like in that one moment. Yeah, but if she's just around them.
She's in the house. She's dangerous.
Yeah.
I think they're forgetting. It's like it's a blindside.
But do they know that Hope has powers?
No, not yet.
Like, they haven't really witnessed it firsthand. Cammy kind of witnessed something in the car, but I don't think anyone else in the house has witnessed this child. Freya keeps mentioning Dahlia is going to sense her power, but they don't know that she's actually doing anything.
Well, she played that music at the end of the episode.
Was that
right?
Her? Or was it Dahlia?
Dahlia? That was Dahlia.
We'll never know.
Well, Rebecca was in the house. So.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Rebecca and what exactly is going on. So she basically, like we're saying, is jumping between her body and then Eva St. Clair's in her body, who potentially is or is not Dahlia. So we've got a lot of different people inhabiting this one body. We're kind of scared, and people are going crazy on social media about her being with Marcel while it's not actually her in this body. I'm just going to go and say it. I've seen people on Twitter go as far as to say, if Marcel and Rebecca hook up, it's not consensual, and he is a very bad person. That's what people are saying right now.
Okay.
Which is really intense, and now I'm nervous if the show goes there innocently, they're going to get some backlash.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
given Vincent Griffith's feelings about his body being used by Finn, I wanted to say... that it's fine, but no, it is a violation of that person's body.
Mm. I call on you, Tiana.
What about, then, if you're going to say that, Cole? Because that's not his body, and him and Davina have gotten close. We've seen it with Finn when he was with Cammy, when it was Finn in Vincent's body. They kind of had a thing. No one ever brought this up until now. So now why has it got to be a problem? Because the two black people are trying to get together.
And what about when they're
went there.
What about the biracial relationships?
She said it.
Okay, and also,
I love you for that.
Thank you.
Also, on this show, everybody's getting compelled. Like, think about when people are compelled to, I mean, even on Vampire Diaries, Damon compelled Caroline to, like, hook up with him for years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
People are getting compelled
would
all the time.
Would you not if you were a vampire?
You were compelled to be.
To be real?
Basically, you were compelled to become a vampire. So, isn't that some sort of crossing the line?
Well, no, I think the thing that makes this worse is that this person's soul or whoever, it's still somewhere.
Yeah.
It's still within the reaches of that. But, like, being compelled to be a vampire or doing something like, you're still you.
Well, I don't think they're going to go that way, though, because Eva's coming out so much like, if they were hooking up, like, she comes out in the middle of it.
That's
like,
what
you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't mean to go there. Exactly. I don't mean to go there, but imagine if they are really getting at it, and then all of a sudden, it's not Rebecca, and it's Eva, and she's like,
no, here's the real question. Okay, hold on.
What is the real question?
If Marcel and Rebecca are, you know, doing their thing, mm-hmm. their thang, and then, you know, Eva pops in, is he cheating?
I don't know.
Well, is he already cheating on Rebecca by having, you know, relations with a different body?
I think right now...
Sorry, Eva's a homewrecker.
Yeah, Eva's a homewrecker.
She's a homewrecker.
But what I like to think about right now with Marcel and Rebecca, because I've loved them together since season one of this show, and I forgot how much I love them because Rebecca wasn't around for so long. But what I see is happening is more of, like, the meeting of the minds where they've been off and on so much and had all these problems that right now they can let go of the physical and get there with the emotional.
Yeah. I wonder, do you think
that was deep?
That's sweet.
It's true. That's a good thing for them.
Yeah, I think that's what they need. They don't need the physical because, you know, they were vampires. That gets real physical.
Yeah, that does. And, you know, Marcel has a lot to deal with right now. Speaking of which, he's got this whole Vincent situation. Vincent, who's not trusting him, and Marcel's racking his brain, how do I get him to open up to me? So who does he call in? Miss Cammy. All right, I see Katie smiling because I said it out loud. You guys know I've had a hard time with her character because I don't feel like they make her do enough things, and I feel like she kind of gets thrown around. I really liked her in tonight's episode because I actually gave her a job. She had something to do.
But she has that throughout. Like, every now and then she's got these little things, and I think she's really good at being there for somebody and talking with somebody and helping them through their problems. She's really good at that.
She's good at being a therapist,
yeah.
Which is what she's gone to school for.
Yeah.
And people just seem to open up to her and really like her. Mm-hmm. So I thought that we used our resources wisely and we put her in a good place. And she does. She gets him to open up. It was kind of weird what he did open up
about,
though.
Hey, that was consensual. Cammy and Marcel.
Yeah.
Yes.
There were some consensual relationships.
Well, so that it's one body to one person.
Yeah, but right she now. Was, she went after Klaus, right? First?
Yeah,
Cammy did.
But she was compelled to go after Klaus first.
You're still, now you're talking about season one.
I'm going way back.
I was a fan of the whole Cammy Klaus thing. You know, I came in here.
I did.
I came in here on the show, like, very interested in that. But I really kind of am intrigued by this whole Vincent and Cammy flirting thing going on.
What makes you so intrigued?
I don't know. I think that they're going to just be there for each other.
Did you buy all of this?
I thought they were flirting.
I thought at the end, I thought there was some flirtatious, some sexual tension, and I was just like,
woo-hoo.
What
I don't know if I feel it.
What I loved about it, though, was because I felt like when Finn was in Vincent, before we found out that it was Finn, it was horrible. Him and Cammy did have a great chemistry together. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought that they were going to take it there when he was still evil. But now that he's not evil, or at least he says he's not evil, I kind of like it again. And also, I want to point out the fact that I thought that the transformation between Finn as Vincent and Vincent as Vincent was amazing. Everything changed. His mannerisms, the way he talks, just everything changed. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Killed it.
I did want to touch on Vincent and his relationship with Eva when she walked in.
Yeah, so
he was scared.
All right. Also, I'm a little baffled by this because I'm sitting here like, and Katie's like, I knew it.
You knew it?
What?
Well, right before it, I was like, lovers.
I thought that they were together for sure. But the look on his face scared me because how strong is this Eva? Which is probably Dahlia. I mean, like, she has to be Dahlia because she's so strong. That look on his face when she walked in and he saw her for the first time, he was terrified.
Oh, well, this is my even more proof was that, is that Vincent, his reaction to
even more proof, just so they know, he actually wrote down on
I wrote
paper.
Even more proof. You'll probably see it. It's really big. But, and I wrote dun, dun, dun. And that's what, but anyways, back to the guy Vincent's reaction to what Finn did, he's mortified by the fact that Finn was so evil. But Eva is evil. But Vincent was married to Eva, so Eva hasn't always been evil, which is, to me, even more proof that Eva's not Eva.
Brilliant.
Anyways, that was...
Again, drop mic, walks out of room.
All right. Catch you later.
No, do it.
I can't do it. You do it for me. There you go. There you go.
No, I think that that makes a lot of sense because he seemed so surprised by her transformation, and it was kind of like when he was looking now at Rebecca inhabiting the body, he was seeing this good person again. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's never seen her be good. So I could see what you're saying.
Yeah, because he does have the line where he said, wow, I never thought I'd see you again after they put you in the, whatever the name of the house is.
Cottage.
Yeah.
Was that the first time we named the house?
No.
Okay, then.
No. But I will say that I was with Katie where I didn't necessarily know how, but I felt like Vincent the whole time from the moment where he shut Marcel down at the mention of her name. I was like, maybe it's his sister or it could be his wife. Like, I wasn't sure how it was going to be connected, but...
You guys are way more with it than I was because I was just... It was, like, out of left field for me when they said that, and I'm really happy that we went there with the storyline because it just means that we are going to keep him around longer, and I was so scared that when we were losing Finn, we were going to lose the character of or the actor, so... I'm happy.
I miss Finn's, like, scariness. I loved that.
He could be back. He's just in a necklace somewhere.
He was incredibly scary.
Yeah,
he's no reason. Like, he's like one of those cult scary leaders where it's like, I believe this, and if you don't, you're wrong.
Yeah.
But also, and that's what I want to say about Freya, why I don't think she's so trustworthy, is because she's already made the decision that Finn's lost his way and locked her in her necklace. Like, she's obviously calling the shots here.
Yeah, she is calling the shots a little bit. Speaking of calling the shots, we've got a bigger shot caller over on the other side of the original town, which is Haley, who is just, like, the most... badass girl of all time. She just goes in, she runs things, and then she leaves the room. Like, I just am obsessed with her. I think she's amazing, and she's the only one who ever stands up to Klaus like this. What did you guys think about this moment? I mean, she's dealing with Jax, and we know that they slept together last week. She's making ties there, and tonight, she basically goes to Klaus, and she's like, respect him or die. Shouldn't say or die.
Or die.
That's what I hear in my head.
I think this is crazy because I think Twitter's going insane about how mad people are at Haley with the way she's treating Klaus and with Jackson.
Clearly.
But my thing is, hold up, like
Jaylee.
Haley's also the mother. Haley has just as much say as Klaus.
Yes.
And Klaus is proven to bring around trouble.
He keeps saying, my baby.
And anybody.
Our baby.
Yes, that's my problem. It's like, okay, and Jackson's not a homewrecker for wanting to take care of Hope because, number one, Jackson's married to Haley. He's in charge of the whole pack. He's an alpha male. He's going to be a father figure in this girl's life for a long time to come in the future. So you can't just be like, Jackson, you're a homewrecker, blah, blah, blah. No, Jackson is a stand-up gentleman who's doing the right thing.
I love really that there's cute. Someone else as passionate about Jackson as I am.
I'm just, I'm angry.
It was really cute, their little moment when she said that we're in this together. And she was reminding him that.
Klaus was pulling that angry baby daddy card.
He is.
Yeah.
Okay, Nisha, we have to know though, are you Jaylee? Are you Claylee? Like, who do you want Haley to be with?
Are you Haylijah?
Oh, yeah.
Are you Haylijah?
Don't leave that one out.
Sorry, I forget we have an ad.
Oh, I forget.
Obviously, I'm not for that. No, okay.
Not Haylijah.
No, I think it's really cool to see how nurturing and beneficial Jackson is to Haley, you know, and she's just, poor thing, has been like, oh my gosh, you know, here and back and everywhere, and sorry, I move a lot, what's going on? Okay. And you know, it's nice to see something. I don't know, I miss, though, the head-to-head with her and Klaus.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Haley and Klaus. It's just very, like, I don't know, like you said, you know, she won't think twice to step up to him and just be like, yo, I need to put you in your place. You know, you're acting up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do one of those, you know? But I think it's definitely great that Jackson is a person who can give her a very loving, you know, fulfilled life.
At least for now.
Yeah, at least for now. And I think, you know, Haley needs that. That's something that she does need to experience in her time, is to have someone that's just there for her.
I completely agree. And I just think that people are thinking too far in the future when they're talking Clayley right now, which is Klaus Haley,
that's
obviously.
That's season four, people.
Right, like, I don't even have time to think of, I think it's great that they're putting in little nuggets and having these big arguments and they do share a child, but I don't have time to ship them because there are so many things that would have to happen for us to get there. Like, there's got to be 15 more relationships in between. So,
and at this point, like, really, does Klaus deserve to have that, because he's too in his he's too means to an end. I need to get to where I need to get for, you know, what I have in my plan, where it's like, is that for the best benefit of Haley at this point? Perhaps it's for his child,
right?
But, you know,
oh no, I think you're totally right in the fact that Klaus is only thinking about Klaus and Hope, and it's like, well, if you're threatening Jackson, if you're threatening the wolf pack, you're threatening Haley, and that's also Hope's mother, and that's also going to take an effect on her, and especially with someone who's so affected by his own parents. What's
so
going
he's
on, Klaus?
Hope by threatening
Jackson, and it's but he's too angry, he's too tunnel vision. This is that's how he always is. It's his way or no way.
Does anybody else think that Klaus just needs a trip to the spa? Like, he just needs to, like,
mani-pedi.
Maybe. Manny Petty with Klaus. We should have him in and give him a
Manny
Petty.
No,
I think someone in the chat or someone on Twitter said, doesn't Klaus just need a spa day? Verbatim what you just said, and this is freaking me out because I can't remember where.
I read minds. That's my power.
You are a
someone's
going to
quote it. If it's out there, someone's going to quote it.
And that's one of those, you know, I was joking in the beginning, but that's one of those things where, like, you know, not to burst anyone's bubble, but Joseph is actually the nicest human being, like, ever, and the sweetest person. So it's really awesome to see the Klaus come out when we're watching, and, you know, we're working.
It's like the claws come out, but the Klaus come out.
Awesome.
That's good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I like that. Really good. So let's talk more about what's going on with Jackson, because we had Nathan come in and tell us that there was going to be a little bit of a turn in his character, potentially, and we're seeing that start as Aiden is kind of rising up against him.
Whoa, Aiden, ooh. That bite? That wasn't okay. Like, come on, you're sparring. You're not actually supposed to be attacking this person. So I get it, but his eyes turned and he went for that bite. I was like, that's a cheap shot and you know it. Bad form.
Bad form.
I respected it.
Klaus is giving him in his head,
Aiden is giving him a warning, and Aiden was straight up with him, like, Klaus said this, Klaus is doing this, you need to stand up, you need to be stronger,
but
someone's gonna rise
him?
Up.
Okay.
How juvenile,
well,
you're not
least,
three.
What?
But he left himself open.
But
he left himself
he
open.
Panel, settle down. Alright, here's the thing. No matter which side you are on, if you think that Jackson's in the right, or if you think Aiden's in the right, Haley is absolutely in the right here when she comes out and she says, everybody stop, because I'll come and kick both of your butts. And I'm like, yes, you will, Haley.
Yes, you will.
Woman power. Like, that was such a strong moment, because I don't think she even was Team Jackson in this moment. And she's definitely not Team Aiden over Jackson. But she's just like, we are supposed to be together as people. And I wish that Josh was there in that moment, because what Haley did, I feel like he would have done too. And been like, all right, settle down, team.
Where is Josh?
Where's Josh?
Where's Josh?
Is he in that warehouse?
He's not a witch.
He's not a witch.
I don't think so. But it's just like Mishi was saying earlier. They're all getting breathers because
Josh is napping.
Yeah. He's napping.
He had a nap for a second.
He's tired.
Wasn't Aiden in the warehouse? Aiden was in the warehouse.
No, that was a different time when Aiden had been captured by Finn. And
I felt right before we saw Davina, we saw Aiden.
Did we?
You mean in tonight's episode?
Yeah.
Or were you talking about a few episodes ago?
No, tonight's episode. When we saw Davina in the warehouse where Evis and Claire put a bunch of people, I thought we saw Aiden.
I didn't see Aiden. That's a question for you guys at home.
Josh.
No, not Josh.
Chat room people.
That's what I'm wondering. Is Josh there as well?
Did we see Aiden in chat room people?
No.
You guys can pull up the episode.
I don't know, but they said that Aiden equals hashtag hood life. Hood life's a thing now, guys.
Oh,
I hope you know. Yeah. Right.
Is life spelled with a Y? Because I picture it like that.
Hood life is our thug life. Well, there's thug life and hood life. Both are with the normal spelling of life.
Got it.
It's not hood or thug, then.
Speaking of, you mentioned Davina, and oh my god, what? like, what is happening here? She is now, she's got the thing on her head, and Rebecca turned, and she came into Eva, and now she's in this thing, and I'm freaking out for her.
Regardless of if Eva is Dahlia or not, she is. But regardless if she is or not, she has to be extremely powerful to take over Davina, who is supposed to be one of, what is it, the crop children, or what are they called? I forget. The harvest kids. Out of the harvest girls. She's a harvest girl. She's more powerful than Josephine and all those witches. Well, and she got taken out by Eva Sinclair?
She used to be more powerful than she is now, though, because then we went through with the harvest, so she had everybody's powers in her, which she no longer has.
So she's still not super, super powerful. She's so powerful, right?
Yeah, she's powerful.
There's a mad. I'm not crazy.
Here's the thing. She also was completely blindsided. Like, she's sitting there talking to a friend, Rebecca, and then all of a sudden something happened. So, yeah.
No matter what,
she was sucker punched, basically.
Well, and Rebecca did leave, because we saw her in the cemetery when she called Elijah and was like, I'm on my way, and then she kind of blacked out, and then
I wonder what Davina thinks. Sorry.
But Davina, I feel like she kind of made me angry. By the way, everyone's saying that wasn't Aiden in the warehouse, it was the boy from last week's episode whose throat she slit.
Oh, right. The one that was with the girl.
She's keeping the children.
By the way, I'm obsessed with you, chat roll. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, chat roll.
That was like instant.
But what made me angry about Davina, which I kind of predicted I was going to be angry with the way she's living post Cole's death, Rebecca comes to her and is like, this thing is, like, the person who has this body is coming, is waking up, and I need your help. And she's like, well, you're supposed to be down here helping me bring Cole back. She's like, I can't do that if I'm not me.
Yeah.
Let's think about this logically and help a sister out. Mm. She should have gone with Rebecca to actually help this. Like, they shouldn't have needed to go to Freya to get help for Rebecca.
Davina, we have to remember, she's like 16.
I know.
Davina's always been that way. She could care less what the originals want. She cares about what she wants, because she's been played by both sides.
And she's heartbroken right now.
I'd be heartbroken if Cole died too.
I am heartbroken.
I'm completely heartbroken. Okay, guys, that pretty much wraps up the episode, and I want to make sure we get over into our special segment, because we want to hear more about your character. I have to tell you that as we've been watching, you're a tough cookie. You're a tough cookie standing up to people that aren't usually stood up to, and I'm really interested in where your character is going.
I'm a coconut.
You're a coconut? Tough on the outside, squishy on the inside?
Oh.
I'm a coconut. There's a lot with
I was like, what does that mean?
which is great. You know, they gave me a lot to play with as far as, like, my backstory for what I had to work with. And definitely, it's not, you don't want to be cliche and be like, oh, yeah, you know, the kid that grows up on the streets who's, like, tough and has to be tough because of their surroundings. But, yeah, of course, a lot of life experiences. And I think that's what really connected, you know, Marcel to Gia in the beginning. And he saw that, you know, that scrappiness about me and that just sincerity that we connected on because of Marcel's, I was going to say Charles again, Marcel's, you know, history as well, and having to prove to get the love of others and to get acceptance of family. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing when Nishi, character names, you know, it's the same thing with Elijah. Right. And I think that that's a lot of what, you know, what we saw too is there's such a raw part of Elijah that Gia's attracted to, and, you know, vice versa. It's the same thing. And so it's nice to see definitely the development, and it was really fun to play to see, you know, I was really awkward in the beginning, in the start of season two, and naturally, like, didn't really fit in, didn't really know what was going on. The defensive side of me came too, because I was like, what is this, and what am I doing, and what, you know, and everyone's just giving me a hard time. And then to kind of see, even as the show progressed, is like, you know, the outfits got different. I got a little more feminine edge. I was able to own a lot more of myself, you know, both as vampire, but still with so much humanity. And it's just been really great to kind of see that trajectory.
We hear you admit out loud last week that you kind of had a thing for Marcel in there, which we were speculating about on the panel.
And we got a lot of flack on the comments when we were like, yeah, Gia, get away from
Marcel,
because I wasn't feeling it personally.
you were even a little jealous. And we were saying that we thought you guys were having a thing.
Oh, when she said, who's that?
Yeah, when she said, who's that, as they're walking by. And we were saying this months ago almost. And now, and people were like, I don't think that there's a romance. But then out loud, you admitted it last week.
Yeah.
How long did you know that there was some vibes there? Was it from day one or...
Well, I think with Gia, too, like with me, I don't know if I'm still over it. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, like, you know, it's Elijah and Gia and we ship them. And a lot of the times, you know, for me, it was like, well, you think something's progressing with somebody and you feel that vibe, you feel that wavelength and that connection, and they're definitely giving it back to you. And then other things get in the way.
Well, this was my thing with Gia and Elijah. Like, sure. I'm not mad at it because I don't want Elijah and Haley, but also with Gia's backstory and, you know, her mother dying and having a jerk stepfather and then it happening right after Elijah believed in her and showing her talent and her instrument, it made me feel like, is this connection because of somebody believing in her or is this connection... because it's real. So I don't really know if I know which way it's going yet.
Sure. Well, I think we're both in a really raw place where, you know, post Haley and everything going on with her, Elijah's in a really, really raw, sore space, you know, and I'm in the same space as well. One, because, yeah, there were things going on with Marcel, but secondly, because he was the first person who really saved my life and, you know, put his neck out on the line for me and just stood by my side and really just taught me the ropes, you know, and you connect to that, you know, not just as someone who's your mentor, but someone that could be more than that.
Yeah.
So to have that complete, you know, pull away and be like, oh, well, he's all about, well, you know, what's her face now, kind of puts you in a raw place. So we found comfort in one another, Elijah and I. Not to say that there isn't something more there.
Yes.
But you both have to be in a pretty clean space to then progress.
To build something actual.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it felt like to me, was comfort.
Yeah,
vampires gotta get it on sometimes. So.
We gotta get ours.
If you feel it 10 times stronger, I don't know why you wouldn't. So.
T, what do we got going on in the chat over there? Do we have questions or from questions. The side of the table in general?
I do have a quick question.
Yeah. I got a bajillion on my Twitter.
Did they know that you could play the instrument when they hired you? Or how did that come into play in the script? How did that happen?
I'm actually a drummer.
Should have brought him the set.
Well, yeah. My parents are both musicians, and I grew up playing, you know, violin, viola, cello, did a bunch, everything I could get my hands on, basically. I was, you know, dance, music. I was super hyper child, so my mom was like, get her out of the house, please, now. And so whatever, you know, it was. And, yeah, definitely when we met, and when I was reading for this part and getting to know the character, they were like, oh, so do you, by the way? And I was like, I absolutely do.
Ooh, that's great.
Jam.
That's
awesome. So
helped you get the part.
So good. It was, how did I, who?
No, it helped you get the part.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's like a nomadic side to Gia where, like you said, you know, my mom wasn't around and my stepfather was a jerk and I took off and went off on my own. And that was the one way that I put, you know, a temporary roof over my head. That's how I fed myself. And it really became more than just a talent, similar to my own life. You know, I was a drummer for about 6 years and that's how I fed myself, you know, and paid for school. And like, you know, that's how I got through a lot of situations, kept me on the right path. So that was, it was just a lot of, you know, parallels between Gia and myself.
That's cool. Incredible. You can see it too, though. That's cool.
And speaking of dancing, I did look up the Superstars of Dance today, the show you were on NBC.
When I was like a tween. Yeah.
It was really good, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah, we've done a lot. I mean, I've done a lot of, you know, dance styles and we were able to kind of give back. Like, I have a studio now in Burbank, Studio X, and you know, we work a lot with Valley Family Center. I'm on the board for them and they work with, you know, children and families with domestic violence victims, and they do much more just to better people's lives in general. And a lot of those kids come, you know, and they'll learn, do some dance therapy, music therapy. We just do tons of creative things there, and that's one element where, you know, I had great teachers and I had great people involved in my life that kept me on the right track.
So you want to do that for other people.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And then, absolutely.
I'll do one fan question from Twitter. At Yushik95 wants to know, is Galijah going to be explored more on the show? Did
Wait,
I
just didn't say that you said Galijah. Like,
Galijah. Galijah.
This is why I was saying that their hashtag should be Aaliyah. Elijah and Gia. Aaliyah. That's better.
Aaliyah.
And then you don't have to worry about the good Gia problem.
Well, good Gia.
But anyway.
I went so well tonight, so you know what?
Good Gia chickens.
Yeah.
Nothing has been
sealed.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait till April 6th.
What will happen?
Oh, I want to know.
We'll have to wait. That
is the question.
I just feel like Elijah is kind of a stand-up guy. I don't know. Yeah. He might back off.
Here's my final thoughts on him. Honestly, we haven't found a partner for Elijah yet that I really want him to be with. I wasn't the biggest fan of him with Haley, and I haven't been the biggest fan with him in the people in the past. So I'm very open to their relationship actually working, because I don't ship him with anybody yet. So I would like to ship him with somebody. We've been following him for years and years now.
It was really interesting because the fight scene that we had, I can't remember what episode that was.
I know what you're talking
about. But the really intense fight scene we had, you know, it was really fun for us to do, and we kind of caught ourselves like off guard with the chemistry that we had.
Ooh.
And that just played, and then the fan response to that was just crazy. That, I mean, I didn't even expect for that to happen and for that to be going on. So
they probably saw that chemistry and then started writing different ways.
Yeah,
they're rewriting the story.
There's to answer that fan. You know, there is something there. Whether it will be explored or not, we shall see. Like any organic relationship, if he plays his cards right, we might.
How is it working with Daniel?
Oh, he's amazing.
She just said they have chemistry.
I know.
No, but honestly, one of the most giving co-actors to work with, and just super, it just really looks out for you, you know, really comfortable. And there's little techniques always when you're on set and when you're new to the show or you're learning from the get. He was just always, wow, that's a loud snap. From the get, he was just really like, hey, you know, letting me know things, even if I had done my own research and prepared as much as I could. When you're on the show, there's just some knowledge that you can pass on. And he's just such a pleasant person, really funny, really lighthearted, very cool, and looks out for every person that he works with.
He's my favorite.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. We really appreciate it. And thank you so much for coming in. And if people want to keep the conversation going with you, where can everybody find you again on Twitter and Instagram, which we know you're so great at?
Ready? Yep. Twitter at Nishi, N-I-S-H-I, hold on, I can spell. At N-I-S-H-I, Moonshine. And Instagram is the_real_Nishi.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Guys, where can everybody find you if they want to keep the conversation starting with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Tigris Hobbs and on Instagram as Donald Romain.
And Katie.
You can find me on Twitter at Katie E.E. Campbell. That's Katie with three E's. Campbell and Instagram at Katie Campbell 13.
And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at the Tiana Hobson. And tweet me and let me know what you guys thought about Elijah living in a house made of wood. We did not talk about that. Wood was everywhere. For a vampire, not very smart.
Way to slip that in.
And you guys can find me at Roxy Stryer. And then, again, thank you so much for coming in, Nishi Munshi. We really appreciate it. Of course, she plays G on the show. Check her out every week. And check out our after show. You can also keep the conversation going with us at AfterBuzz TV, on YouTube, on iTunes, on SoundCloud. Give us that thumbs up, that 5-star. We love you guys. Thank you so much for supporting us. And we'll see you in a few weeks.
Gia out. That's all I have to say.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.